we welcome you all to this Sunday morning. I'm going to start with a reading from Psalms, chapter 139, verses 13 through 14, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Hear now these words. You created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. And also, I want to read a little short quote from Gloria Anselm Dua's book, Borderland, La Frontera. Here are now her words. The answer to the problem between the white race and the color, between males and females, lies in the split that originates in the very foundation of our lives, our culture, our languages, our thoughts. A massive uprooting of dualistic thinking in the individual and collective consciousness is the beginning of a long struggle, but one that could, in our best hopes, bring us to the end of rape, of violence, and of war.
You know, I had a favorite contemporary Christian artist. And I don't have very many artists or my, you know, by any means. I'm talking years ago, and I think that it's possible when I was at Vandalia, and it was Chrissy Tatum, who was the youth pastor there, who introduced me to a couple of people because she played guitar and she was a musician. Maybe she introduced me to him. He used to be, a long time ago, in a group called Caveman's Call, maybe probably in the 90s or around, and he was their original lead singer and songwriter, but he quickly had to leave the group and pursue a solo career because his lyrics were not aligning with mainstream commercial marketing in contemporary Christian music. He has always been a more progressive thinker, very poetic writer, and I've always loved his songs. His lyrics are just bar none, just fantastic. I know that the congregation at Vandalia threatened to get up and walk out if I did American flag umbrella another time than his songs years ago.
Really?
It's 2 years. I'm looking for a song that would hold up non-binary people. And I find, I look for a song that was written by some other group, and I write the name of the song up, and first on Google comes Derek Webb, this man, this songwriter, who I've loved for decades, wrote a song called this, and I click on it and go on the YouTube video. Here is Derek Webb, a heterosexual male, very shaggy beard, face scruff, and, public divorce in the contemporary Christian community and all this stuff years ago. Does the whole video where you see him shaving his face and you see him slowly getting drag makeup put on his face. And he does the performance with a drag performer.
Lady Grant.
Right? It's both, a famous drag performer and at Flamey Grady. And
Grant.
Grant, was it?
Like, it's like Amy Grant, but Flamey Grant.
Yeah.
And she just had the top song on the Christian charts for a couple of months because of a protest that was made about,
okay.
And so folks rallied around and ended up at number one.
You would never see this, a man dressed as a woman in this way. I say, when it's not funny and it's done very seriously. You see this very heterosexual, well-known contemporary Christian artist do this song in drag. I have never loved him more than after seeing this video, and I'm so glad that I've always loved this particular artist. So this is the song that he did.
Let me start by saying that I love you. just behind the door, you invited me in. Believe it or not, the hardest is behind you, saying who you are and what you need out loud. This great gift is always gonna haunt you, like a good ghost pulling you from a crowd to places you have never been. Boys to be girls, sometimes armor will be pearls, but you hold on, it shows the world how hard you're fighting. Brother, sometimes boys will be girls. They say the greatest revenge is a life well lived. So allow this gift to and the greatest gift you could ever give. They are one in the boys can be girls, sometimes armor can be pearls, but you put on, well, it shows the world how hard you're fighting. Sisters, sometimes boys will be girls.
This morning is entitled No More Normalized Binary Narratives. So I'd like to start today by acknowledging right up front that I do not look like the person who should be giving the talk on queer theology. I am white, heterosexual, cisgender, Gen Xer, male from the South. So let me just say, I make no claims of being an expert on queer theology. I'm just, as I mentioned before, a very enthusiastic student of it. I can honestly tell you no other type of theology has ever resonated with me more, both spiritually and intellectually. If any of my talks about queer theology has made you more curious about it, I highly recommend a book by Dr. Patrick Cheng called Radical Love, An Introduction to Queer Theology. One of my favorite quotes from this book, which I think I've shared with you before, is this. God is the very manifestation of a love that is so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries. And if that's true, and I do believe that it is true, it seems to me that then living a life that actually dismantles existing boundaries is the very definition of being in relationship with this thing that we call God. The concept that radical love that is so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries is one of the core concepts of queer theology. It also happens to be a concept that is at the core of the life and teachings of Jesus. One of my favorite examples of this in Jesus is Jesus at the temple grounds. When Jesus was confronted with injustice in the temple grounds in Jerusalem, he was filled with righteous anger. And he got to work literally dismantling the tools they were using to take advantage of others, tearing down the false boundaries that separated at that point the haves and the have-nots. He started flipping tables. When we are confronted with injustice, we should too. We should too. That there are so many areas in each of our lives where we have bought in hook, line, and sinker into the normalized binary narratives of the dominant culture. They are the existing boundaries that radical love is meant to dissolve. So let's take a look at our lives and consider how we, out of an abundance of radical love, out of an abundance of it, might begin to dissolve these false binary divisions and move our lives towards a more boundless faith. Now, clearly, there are lots of areas in our lives where boundaries tend to rule most people's perspectives, particularly binary boundaries, things like man and woman, for us, against us, civilized, uncivilized, black, white, Christian, non-Christian, able-bodied, handicapped. Let's go on and on. For that reason, since it could be a very long list, and considering the amount of time that we have here today, I'm just going to look at one specific imposed binary and small but important ways we each might live into radical love by dissolving them in our own lives. From that one area, I'm actually confident, knowing all of you, that we can each extrapolate ways to dissolve other false binaries in our lives. The area that I would like us to consider is the very foundation of queer theology. It is the, quote, normalizing of sex and sexuality. So male, female, heterosexual, homosexual. In progressive gatherings like ours, most of us intellectually, we do recognize that those binaries do not match reality in the world. And as a result, we tend to be welcoming and safe places for those whose lives stand over and against those false norms that the dominant culture forces on us all. And that's a wonderful thing, but I have to say, while being a welcoming congregation when it comes to the LGBTQIA community, while that's highly celebrated in spiritual circles, progressive spiritual circles, honestly, it does very little to dissolve the existing structures of marginalization that those same people will face when they leave the building. So what we need are new norms, new normalizing. The dominant culture has set the table with their rules, expectations, their normalizations. They set it long before most of us were ever even invited to the meal. And rather than being just sitting back and accepting what we are served, we need to start turning those tables. We need to start setting new norms, norms that don't live into false binaries. We need to, because those false binaries try to claim that some people aren't as wonderfully made as others. That way of seeing things flies in the face of today's scripture reading that tells us, "For you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made." So I say, let's be more active in normalizing things like pronoun sharing. And for Brenda, it couldn't be any easier to do. And it's an active way to affirm that not all people's gender identification match the label that society might put on them based on their outward appearance. Much like using someone's name can show a sign of respect to them, using the correct personal pronoun, that carries a very similar kind of weight. Laverne Cox, a trans actress from Orange is the New Black, she says that misgendering a trans person is an act of violence. An act of violence. I mean, how would you feel if someone continually and intentionally misgendered you? Using correct pronouns is actually validating it. Is also incredibly loving. If you take your spirituality seriously, you should take using correct pronouns seriously. So you might ask fairly, how do we go about normalizing this since the dominant culture tries not to? Well, I'm going to suggest this two simple things. One, add your pronouns to your signature on correspondence. Right? I just use my name and then a parenthesis, he, him, his. And then also, though, a step further, just like you give your name when you introduce yourself, also give your pronouns. Normalize it. Make it normal to share those things. After all, they are both your name and your pronouns important ways for people to refer to you. So let them know how to do that, even if you think it might be assumed. Because if you think it might be assumed, you're buying into the false normalization of binaries that the world has put on us. I gotta admit, I've got to work on the giving my pronouns when I meet someone a little bit, but honestly, it's not that hard to say something. Hey, I'm Mark, my pronouns are he and his. It's really nice to meet you. Not that hard to do. And while we are on the subject of names, as I said just a minute ago, using someone's name can show a sign of respect. And this is particularly true for folks who are trans, like my son. Frequently trans folks select a new name that more clearly aligns with who they actually are. Refusing to call them by their chosen name is another form of misgendering, and as Laverne Cox noted, it is an act of violence. As a matter of fact, there is a phrase that suggests how violent it actually is when you refuse to use someone's chosen name. It's called dead naming them. As I've heard said before, you don't need to fully understand the nuances of gender identity to know that each individual person knows who they are better than you ever will. So please, use the pronouns and names they give you. In its own way, it is an act of radical love that will help break down the normalized binaries of sexuality. For many of us, we also need to develop a new personal norm of using the word they as a singular pronoun. My first undergraduate degree was in English, and I have to admit that this was one that was tough for me at first. It felt wrong, not in terms of acknowledging that the person I was referring to identified as they as a pronoun. I was actually pretty good with that. My brain just couldn't adjust to it. I felt forced. After a bit of thought, though, After that, I thought, I realized, we all, in our entire lives, have used they and them as singular pronouns before. You see, the English language actually doesn't provide a gender indefinite singular pronoun. I know that's English babble. So when we need that, since it doesn't provide it, we tend to let they and them do the job. Like with this. If Jill or Jack gets a bike, I'll be glad to ride with them. That just seems normal, right? And once I realized that and thought about it clearly, it didn't take long for my brain to sort of catch up with the reality. Well, mostly. Someone who I used to see quite a few times a week uses pronouns they and them. And I cannot tell you the number of times I've used mistakenly she, her in referring to them. Particularly at first, I'd used the wrong pronoun. But you know what? It was okay. But do you know why it was okay? Because I also normalized correcting myself. And they were more than gracious in understanding, and it ultimately helped me normalizing the use of they as a singular pronoun. So if this English major can do it, I promise you, so can you. And the more of us who do it, the more we show radical love by dissolving yet another false binary boundary, the more we move the world forward in radical love. And, you know, somewhat related, at least in terms of normalizing this, let's also normalize not supporting corporations that support anti-LGBTQ agendas. For better or worse, we live in a world where money does provide voice. Like it or not, the reality is you vote with your wallet. When you spend money with a corporation that's actively sending their money to politicians and organizations that are actively trying to take away rights from queer folks like my son, you're providing them not only with more money to do so, but also more reason to do so. Because if hurting the queer community with money they made from their business doesn't hurt their business, they have little incentive to stop doing it. I mean, I love Chick-fil-A sandwich. I haven't had one in so many years. Not because of that woman, because I bought one. But because that momentary culinary pleasure is not worth being even the tiniest cog on the financial machine that supports homophobic behavior of that misguided corporation. It's a small example of what radical love looks like in action. Love that is so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries. Which brings me back to Dr. James' quote from his book, Radical Love. God is the very manifestation of a love that is so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries. As I continue to learn about queer theology, I have to say I very much agree with him. So it does seem to me that living a life that dismantles existing boundaries is the very definition of being in relationship. I encourage us all, as a community, as individuals, to do so. Thank you.
So in my research, I got on a message board about people that were looking for songs that also support, you know, trans non-binary people. And what really seemed to take hold was Disney movie songs, the I Want song, all of them seemed to align with people who are trans or non-binary. There was a lot of people saying yes, especially this particular one, and there was all kinds of enthusiasm about this. And I find that ironic, but I also find that a universal truth and a wonderful thing. So this is the Disney I Want song that comes kind of at the end of Act One, if it was a musical theater piece, which a lot of them end up being musical theater pieces, for Frozen 2. I have not seen Frozen 2, but I'm going to give this one a go. And but it does. It supports the whole idea of trans rights, queer theology, all of it. I'm going to try my best.
Thank you.
together. May humanity be freed from its self-importance. May we be pulled from the depths of our short-sighted selfishness. Self-importance and selfishness that contribute to trying to normalize everyone else to us. May we be reminded of the interconnectedness of life. Let us live into the reality that a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Let us be inspired towards lives lived out for others. Lives that persistently shout from the mountaintops, you will not harm him, you will not take advantage of her, you will not marginalize them. I demand justice, we demand justice. May we lead lives that learn from the queer experience, becoming more aware of societal imposed binaries that bury some folks on the margins underneath the unbearable knowledge that profit and power and prestige seem to be more important to the world than their own dignity, and that the unique reflection of the divine found in them is somehow less valued than others. May we be the bringers of justice, voices for equality, radical love for a world in need. Amen. See this blessing, may you walk with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your actions and your words share that love and happiness with all of those you meet. Thank you.